Dave, how are you today?
Good, good. Happy Monday. I'm ready to rock on a couple things that are near and dear to me because it's a lot of calls I take that I get the joy of undoing some potential disasters in about 5 minutes.
So all right, well, let's,
these are some of my favorites.
Well, let's get into it because one of them involves the estate plan and the investing into it, right?
Yes. People read, you know, internet. They talk to siblings who don't know what they're doing. They do something that grandpa did, and it's called joint tenancy with right of survivorship. What that does, you got 60 grand in a money market account, and you bring a child in who you think is, you know, a careful person. And what you don't realize is, as that person's life changes, your money can get swept up due to a financial unforeseen problem or something they do, gambling debts or something, on purpose, where it can disappear. Because when it's joint tenancy, it's as if it's both of your money. It's it's an end run that people do around the lawyers. But I have had clients where they go in to check their balance and it's gone. And they say, sorry, that person had a foreclosure in Chicago on a commercial building and the bank found it and it's gone. That one was a 90 grand hit.
Whoa.
Years ago of a client of mine. Yeah, so you don't want to do, you could do it on a checking account with, you know, a couple grand Social Security money or something, you know, your what we call convenience account. I had one with my own mother. I was on there. I could access it without signing her name or even using a power of attorney. But anybody who sits around and says, all you need is joint tenancy, you don't need an estate plan, brutal. The debts of your kids or the mistakes of your kids can become yours. Or a divorce case, the divorce lawyers will ask for the person who's looking for money from the other spouse, name all accounts, no matter individually or with others. And it's under oath. And so if you say, well, I don't have to mention the one with my mom, if your ex-to-be already knows about it, you're going down and looking really bad with the judge. So that's the first one. It's an easy out, but it can be really destructive.
Isn't that,
the other one?
Oh, let me, before you go on to the other one, Dave, hold on, slow down.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so, okay, joint, that's someone putting you on an investment account, and they're like, well, this will be good. They're going to be able to pull some money out in case we need it elsewhere, they need to spend the money for me. What is that sound?
No, that they...
Is that the news? Hold on, that's not you, Schluter. I'm putting you on hold. Hey, news office, I'm hearing a bunch of beeping from you, so I'm going to turn you down for a second. You were good, Dave Schluter.
It's basically, it's an easy, it's an old school way to do it, but in the day when world was simple, when maybe people weren't getting sued or have divorce lawyers grabbing money, the issue is that it's something they should not do. And I've actually had people, look, get to the bank ASAP. A better alternative is something called pay on death or transfer on death. Then the second generation doesn't have any stake in it until you die.
And also, then, wow, don't they not get the step up in basis, right? If you put people's names on stocks or give them stocks or some investment, they're going to get the capital gains tax based on the price you bought it from versus when they die, that's the new date, right?
Yeah, that's through the living trust and all kinds of other ways with the investment people. Another one people do is they got 300 grand in the bank, and Bill went to University of Chicago for accounting, and he's a very honest son. The problem is you got three siblings, right? Bill goes and writes a check, okay, for $80,000 or whatever to him. Bill gets nailed for a gift tax for anything over $19,500 that he writes to your other kids. 40% above whatever he writes, because he's only allowed, it becomes his money on the date of death. It's not your money. And so there's a gift tax on the giver. It seems very unfair. You think it should be the recipient.
I gotta step in, Dave, because we just had a tax person on explaining the gift tax that above $19,000 you have to report to the IRS, but you've got a $15.5 million lifetime gift reservoir.
Oh, right. I'm talking about, John, where they hand out the checks and nobody talks to anybody, and then the audit comes in. In other words, it's a handing out. They're saying, oh, they'll do the right thing. First of all, the right thing doesn't always happen. There could be a problem long after you're gone about what that person's life is like. They could get laid off, and it could be a temptation to keep more than their share. Yes, there's a way around it to do a filing, but it's a simultaneous form to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cheap to do,
right.
But they have to know how to do that. And if they don't do it and it sits around 6, 7, 8, 10 years, it's brutal. So the better way, again, is to pay on death to all the people. Don't put your person who went to accounting school as their brother and sister's keepers. And again, people say they'll do the right thing, but I've had, in my 40th year, I've had my conference room filled many times with people who say our brother gambled it away. It's not good. So that's just another shortcut. And then, lastly, on this second topic that I mentioned, I know we're pressed for time. There's a general hesitation that, you know, a lawyer, you better be questioning if he has his hands in his own pockets. He must not be a normal lawyer if he really acts like he's honest. There's a big stereotype on the living trust end, which you've interviewed me 20 times about that, that it's only for millionaires. It's not. It's for anybody who wants to stay out of court. So everybody who listens says, don't, you know, that lawyer's just trying to take advantage. That's only for millionaires. That's a false premise. It's for anybody who wants to pass on their money or their home or whatever without court. And so and then there's also all the typical stereotypes that they're going to overbill no matter what they tell you, or, you know, you better get four quotes. I'm known as somebody who just tells people straight up. I have an initial consultation, and I started out with, if you have a problem with this one-page contract we're going to sign so I can handle your project, you can leave here with no hard feelings. There are no hard feelings. And so that's just part of that. There have lawyers rip people off, of course, but the issue is that to have automatically, it isn't worth the money. You're never, you know, they're never going to be straight with you. There's so many honest people in the practice of law who do this because we really do care about the first generation and the second generation. Right before I got licensed, probate lawyers made an automatic 10% on every probate case. It was undisputed. And so that got thrown out because if it's a $2 million estate versus a $1 million estate, the work really wasn't that much more. This is in the probate arena.
Right.
They would automatically get 10% off the top. That's now switched to hourly work.
Still,
I have probate estates. We have to submit hourly bills.
Still, the price you pay on a trust now will be much smaller than the price your kids are going to pay lawyers in probate. And this, and the tension and the stress of it all. I do have to run, Dave. WGN, he's like, I know the drill, John. WGNattorney.com. What's the number, Dave?
Yeah, 630-285-5300. Helping people for 40 years and always a free consultation. That's bulletproof.
You're the best, Dave. Talk soon, okay?
Right. Thanks.